Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Almost halfway through the book. And we're going to look at faith in the life of Abraham. Genesis 22. It came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I'll tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, wood of the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? We have everything. Abraham said in verse 8, My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Abraham is faced with this ultimate test. And it's not a test to produce faith. It is a test to reveal whether or not he really loves God. Whether or not he really has surrendered his life to God. A test that will reveal whether or not he's obedient. God says, Give me back that son. A burnt offering, you kill an animal, and then you burn it up, and the smoke, God says, is a sweet-smelling aroma to me. And Abraham says, All right, let's do this. I'm going to do that. He probably did not sleep that night. That's why he was able to wake up in the morning. That must have disturbed him, but anyway, he got up early, saddled his donkey, his two servants, Isaac, and they started a three-day journey. This was his only son, God said to him, the one whom he really loved, the only son of promise, cut him, set him on fire for me. Go to this specific place, Mount Moriah, and the name of Jerusalem, to a particular spot on the hill, and there, do this. Abraham obeyed. The firewood, he could have got firewood on the way. Right, Abraham, why are you packing the firewood? You can find firewood on the way. Why are you taking a knife? Right, you can make a knife on the way. You can find something to use. But these are all demonstrations of obedience. If God, you want me to make an offering for you, I'm going to be ready all through. Dad, where is the sacrifice? I know we are going to a worship service, and we normally take a sacrifice, so the idea of worshiping God through sacrifices, animal sacrifices, was in existence. And that's why Isaac asks, so we're going to worship, right? Yeah, we're going to worship. We normally take an animal. Where is it today? He did not tell Isaac that he is the sacrifice. He says, you know, God himself will provide. Okay, let's go. God had earlier on asked Abraham to send Ishmael away. And now God is asking him to offer him Isaac. And through this three-day journey, Isaac is as good as dead. He knew this is going to happen. I'm going to have to do this. It's even difficult to explain it to Isaac that he is the sacrifice. Let me just tell him God himself will provide. And truth is, God himself is going to provide. In fact, in the Hebrew, that phrase means one of two things, or both. It means God is going to provide a lamb, or God himself is going to be the lamb of sacrifice. Now we know the truth. God himself was the sacrifice in Jesus Christ. And through this experience, God is actually going to provide a sacrifice himself, the ram. In verses 9 onwards, and they came to a place which God had told him, Mount Moriah, top of a hill. And Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order, bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood, And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay Isaac, his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him, saying, this is from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. As it say to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Abraham is obedient. He is trusting. He is surrendering. I'm sure he doesn't understand everything. But he's saying, if God, you're asking me to do this, then I'm going to do it. Abraham, somebody said, could have forgotten the knife. Could have said, okay, let me just forget the knife. Let me go without the knife and see what happens. He could have left the firewood. He could have told Isaac, run. God wants me to kill you. Run. Hide. I'll tell him I can't find you. His heart is genuine. He's full of trust and obedience. At this time, Abraham was over 100 years. We're going to see in the next chapter that his wife died at 137. She gave birth at 90. 47 years later is when she passes. So Abraham is probably 140, let's say. That makes Isaac in his 30s. So there is this traditional picture of Isaac being a toddler. Let me ask you this. Do toddlers understand sacrifice? No, they don't. Do they ask you, so where is the lamb of sacrifice? They'll tell, I'm hungry. I want food. So Isaac, in his 30s, willingly walks with his dad. They come close to the place. And he tells the young men, his servants, you stay here. We are going to worship and we will be back. You see his faith. God told him, you're going to kill your son. But he's telling his servants, we are going to be back. Both of us. We're just going to church. We're going for a church service and we'll be back. When God asked Abraham for the ultimate demonstration of love and commitment, he asked Abraham for his son. Show me that you love me. Give me back your son. And when God wanted to show us the ultimate demonstration of love, you know what God did? He gave us his son, Jesus. For God so loved us that he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Abraham wasn't willing to only offer Isaac. He was willing to offer the ram as well. He could have said, God, I'm hungry. I've been walking 3 days. Don't you understand that? Let me just feast on this ram. It's free. I don't have to hunt for it. God asks for a son. Abraham is willing. God gives him a ram. He is willing to offer the ram to God. And he does that. And he names the place not after his test and trial, but after God's provision. He does not name the place Abraham Ministries International. Faith Ministries International. He does not name the place Trial or Test Hill. He names the place after what God did. God provided a sacrifice. And Abraham didn't name the place after anything else. And even the name of the place is a reflection of his faith. God did it. Nothing about me. He's not even honoring himself. We like rewarding ourselves, right? We like taking ourselves for a celebration when we've accomplished something. There's no party. He says, man, this breaks me down to worship God more. God provided. There's a ram. Please offer it to me. Now think with me. Abraham has never seen this happen in his life. So far, nobody has been requested to offer their son. No one. Abraham is not like us who know the doctrine, the teaching of the resurrection. Death is just a passing on to the next phase in life. Glory will come back to life. We are actually more than alive. He had no base on the obedience and trust. And in this passage, we find the first mention of love and worship in relation to a father and a son. We will go to worship. Give me your only son that you love. And the idea of worship, the word literally means we're going to bow down before the Lord. So we are going to bow down before the Lord. And it's the love between Abraham and Isaac that is a picture of the love between God the Father and God the Son. Earlier on, in 20 and 21 chapters of Genesis, Isaac was a picture of Jesus Christ, because those were both promised sons. Both were born after delay. The mothers were assured of God's power. Both were named before their birth. Both births were miraculous. And they were accompanied with joy, happiness, celebration. Now Isaac becomes even a clearer picture of Jesus Christ. You know how? Both were loved, dearly loved by their fathers. Both offered themselves willingly. Isaac allowed to be wrapped up in ropes and a knife drawn in his sight. He knew what was happening. Both carried wood up the hill. Jesus carried his cross up the hill. Isaac carried his firewood. This was going to burn him up. Don't you wonder, why did Abraham not tell one of his servants to carry the firewood? Why are you doing that, Abraham? Isaac is becoming a picture of Jesus Christ here. Both were sacrificed on the very same hill, Jerusalem. Both were delivered from death on the third day. 3 days, Isaac is dead in Abraham's thinking. On the third day, he is alive. In verses 15 to 19, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. Now, if you noticed in verse 12, God honors Abraham for his faith simply because he was willing. So to God, your willingness to offer me your son is as good as you offering me your son. You willing to follow me is as good as you actually being with me. You willing to listen to my instructions is as good as you honoring me. A second time the angel speaks. This is really God. In verse 12, he's actually the only son there and says, from me. So this is not just an angel. This is God himself speaking to Abraham. The angel speaks from heaven a second time in verse 16 and says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. God himself says, by myself. This is not just an angel. This is God himself. Because you have not withheld your son from me. Your only son. And the dash there, that means a silence. A moment of silence. He says, blessing, I'll bless you. This is the part that all of us want to hear, right? We don't want to sit in a 3-hour exam and come up and you don't even show you passed the test. But be sure I want to hear this. Blessing, I'll bless you. Multiplying, I'll multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven are, and as the sand which are on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to the young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Just your willingness to do that, Abraham, is enough. All that is all I was looking for. And in this passage, all God is looking for is our willingness to honor him. Just the willingness. I will. All right, sometimes we fail in our bodies, in our flesh. But Jesus said, the spirit was willing, but you just stood lazy and tired and sleepy. But I know you are willing. I know it. I know your heart. And we live in these bodies that have limitations. And we have hearts that can be completely devoted to God. And that's what God is looking for. Because eventually we will leave these bodies here and we'll be in glory. We'll be given bodies that have no limitations. And he says, I will bless you. Blessing, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I will just give everything to you that I've promised. Your descendants, I'll make them as many as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. You go count them. How many beaches will you have to visit? All of us, children of Abraham. And he goes back to his servants and they're asking, so Abraham, how was the worship service? And he's like, you should have been there. It was a major test in my life. God actually had asked me, I didn't tell you guys, but God had asked me to sacrifice my son. What happened? When I was just about to kill him, God stopped me. Why did he stop you? He was just making a point. He was just painting a picture that there's a savior on the way beyond my son. What does that mean? I don't know. We just have to wait. He goes home. I don't think he told his wife about this mission here. I hardly think he told his wife about this mission. And some of us are like that, husbands. You go on a sacred mission, your wife has no clue where you are, what you've gone to do. I'm just going to church, all right? I'll be back. If we pass the test, we come home with a testimony. All right? Oh, honey, you know what happened? Here is the fruit of my mission. But when we go out and lose, we go home and we say nothing. So how was the journey? No. Don't worry, just give me dinner and I'll be fine. So he goes back and he tells his wife the story. So you mean you are going to kill our only son? Yeah. What? How come you didn't tell me? Well, you wouldn't have understood. I also didn't understand, so I didn't want to involve you. So what happened? And he tells her the story. And the beautiful part is that he reconfirmed the promise that he made to us. A worldwide blessing is going to flow from our family. And they're like, yeah, praise the Lord. Faith is demonstrated through obedience, through trust, through surrender, through everything we see Abraham doing here. And for every follower of God, this is an everyday experience. To know what God said, you go build me an ark. What does that look like, God? An ark? And God says, all right, this is how it should look like. Okay. Rain? What is rain? Water falling from the sky for 40 days. Okay. And he did that. Abraham, give me your son. Moses, you go down to Egypt where you are wanted for murder. What? Yes, you go. You won't be arrested. That guy died long time ago. They won't even recognize you. You look like you're so bushy now. You know? And throughout scriptures, throughout church history, through this very day, God is testing us. Not to produce faith, but to demonstrate faith. To prove to him that you really love him. God asked Peter, do you really love me? 3 times. And Peter said, yes. And he said, this is how you should show that you love me. You go pastor my people. You feed my sheep, tend my lambs. You go into all the world. How are we going to get to all the world? I will lead you. Okay, we will go. How about you? What is your latest test? Is it a waiting test? An obedience test? A patience test? What's your test? And are you doing well? Are you on that journey? And maybe some things in your head are as good as dead. Maybe you're at a stage where you need to kill something, right? You need to give away that thing or that person, letting them go. You really love them. You have to forego that place that you really wanted to go. And God is closing the door. And here Abraham demonstrates obedience. Get up and go. He wakes up and goes. Give me your son and Isaac. And Abraham demonstrate that faith is actually sacrifice. It is willingly giving yourself away to God. We've been singing that. Lord, I give myself to you. I give myself away. Lord, I give my son away. I give this very thing that is very dear to me away. You have it. And he demonstrates his faith through love and worship. This is how I'm going to show that I really obey, I really follow you. We're going to have a worship service, we're going to church, and we're going to worship you. I read a story of faith. Two men, they take a boat trip. They get lost. The boat is shattered. They end up on an island. One of them is really bothered about it. One is not bothered. The unbothered one said, you know what, don't worry. I make 100 million shillings a week. We will be fine. The other said, no way. That money is useless to us right now. We can't even make a call. He said, have faith, my brother. We will be fine. How are we going to be fine? He told him again, I make 100 million shillings a week and I tithe. The pastor will surely look for us and find us. There's another story of a farming couple. The cow gave birth to two. And they said, one is ours and one is for the Lord. A few months later, one died. And he went to his wife and said, whose cow died? God's cow died. How are you demonstrating, rather, your obedience to God? Has God asked you to go somewhere and you're on your way? Has God asked you to let something go and you're in that process? Or are you holding it to yourself? Remember, the test is to demonstrate faith. You've already heard God's voice, right? Faith comes by hearing. And Abraham heard and he says, I am gone. I have to obey, I have to surrender, I have to demonstrate that I am a follower of God. That's what Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength your bonds. God, I don't understand. This is complicated. This is terrifying. This is hard. You think it's easy to offer your only son to the Lord? You think it's easy to even offer a ram to the Lord? But Abraham is saying, you know what, I'm not going to trust in my own wisdom. I'm going to trust the word that God has spoken. I don't understand this, but He's all wise. I'll trust Him. I honor Him. And the Bible says this will be health to your bones and health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You see, obedience to God actually produces spiritual health and physical health, both. If Abraham had followed his own wisdom, this would not have happened and he would not be in scriptures. Would have been somebody else. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, you love me? If you love me, keep my commandments. Abraham, if you love me, then you have to follow my instruction. Quite often, we love God, but we don't want to follow instructions, do we? Lord, I really love you, but no. But God says, if you really love me, then you show it by following my commandments. And some people have the idea of faith being so abstract, all right? I have so much faith, or so little faith. Like faith is a quantity, right, that you can measure. Well, faith is really a measure of your obedience to the Lord. How much is that? It has to be everything, not just a few things. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a teaching on faith. And in the first three verses, now faith is the substance or the reality of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The author says faith is the reality, the substance of things that you're waiting for, the things that you're expecting. I'm expecting a son. It's actually real. I'm really going to have a son. We had a testimony in the other service. And evidence of the things that you cannot see. It's real, it's there, but you cannot see it. And sometimes we think something to be real has to be seen. But faith is, I do not see that son, but I know he is. I do not see A, B, C, D, but I know that they are. And I'm just waiting to see them. And the Bible says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abraham has a great testimony, and so many others, and us. And by faith we understand that God spoke the world into existence by the things that are not seen. Do you see words? Light be, do you see that? But light was. And that was the very beginning of faith. In fact, somebody said, if you believe the very first verse in the Bible, then you have no problem believing everything else in the Bible. Because that was the beginning of God showing us who He is. James has a challenge for us in James chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is, what is it? Dead. It's not there. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. He said, some people say we just follow God, but you don't see anything that shows that. But James says, I'm going to show you that I'm a follower of God. If God asked me for a son, in fact, he refers to this very story in Abraham. He said, Abraham demonstrated his love and faith in God by what? Offering his son. He literally did it. And if we are following Jesus Christ, it has to show. It must be seen. There's no undercover secret Christians. We start off secret and undercover, right? We're not so sure how people will receive us when we got saved. We kept it secret, but we couldn't hide it after 25 years. We can't. You can't even hide it just after a year. It shows you're going to church. Where do you go every Sunday? Do you just say, I'm going to town? You're only going to say that for a few months and then eventually, by the way, the other time I told you I'm just going to town, I'm actually going to church. Our faith is demonstrated by what we do. It comes out in the ways that we act. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says, brethren, brothers and sisters, through God's mercy, His kindness, His love, you lay down your life, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, a burnt offering was a dead sacrifice. An animal is killed first and then burnt. But the Bible says, you are supposed to be a living one. All right? You lay there and die. And don't try to crawl off. Don't even kick. Don't kick the person trying to draw the knife on you. And he says, holy, acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service or acts of worship. Don't be changed into the pattern of this world, going the other way. This world does not want sacrifice. This world does not want giving themselves to God. This world is giving themselves to something else apart from God. You renew your mind. Through scriptures, our minds are renewed. And it says that you may know or prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. How do we know the perfect will of God? How did Abraham know that he is supposed to offer his son? Listen to God. All right? How do I know that God wants me over there? I have to listen to Him. How do I know that God wants me to be here? I have to give myself wholly to Him. Not just bits. God, is this your perfect will for me? And the moment I'm asking that, I'm in the wrong place, right? But if I'm constantly listening to God, I won't even ask. I will for sure know you want me to give myself to you. You want me in this place. You want me in that place. You want me here. You want me to do this. I won't even ask. But if I'm not listening to God, I'm going to be asking him. Abraham had no single question for God. No single question. He didn't ask about the knife, not the fire, not the place. It had already been communicated to him. And that's what Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God says, I want you. I want nothing from you. I want you. And you'll hear a lot of twists to this idea of sacrifice. That God wants you to what? Give him all your... If you don't have cash, you bring the smartphones. If you don't have the smartphones, just pledge. That you'll buy one and give it away to God. Before God asks you to give anything, God wants you. Because if you have given yourself to God, there's nothing you can withhold from him. Nothing. If you've dived in the ocean of God, you're there with everything, aren't you? Everything. If he says, I want the shoes, you're like, oh, I'm already in here. The shoes are yours too. God wants us above all things. Let's offer ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, holy and acceptable to God. And the key word is willingly. Willingly. Wake up like Abraham and go on the journey and see what God does. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, it's the end of a story of a parent who had a child who had this disorder, seems like a demonic attack. They come to Jesus Christ. Jesus, this is my child. This is the problem. You know what Jesus asks him? Do you believe? Literally, so why are you here? Right? Why are you here? Why are you sitting here? Why are you coming to me? Because I have a problem. All right, so do you believe I'm the solution to the problem? You know what the father said in Mark chapter 9, verse 24? The father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I know that you can do it. But there's this part of me that does not want to believe. There's this attack that I have. Doubt. Fear. I have my own wisdom. And tell you what, there are hindrances to faith. Don't think this is happening. And Abraham had no single challenge for over 25 years. We know better, don't we? Bit by bit, piece by piece, day by day, God taught him trust and patience and love. And eventually, Abraham completely believes. And in fact, after this point on, there is no other test for Abraham. He's going to live for another, I don't know how many years, you don't know his age right now. He's going to live up to 175. So from the time Isaac was born, Abraham has another 75 years. No single test ahead of him. And you may be thinking, I'm longing to be there. I'm longing to pass that final test and then have no other test. I do not know where that is and when that is. And you too do not know. All right? Just keep following your master. That's the first thing that Abraham does. You want me to go? I will wake up and go. And that is just it. And we have to overcome, just like this father in Mark 9, this, whatever it comes from, right? Where does doubt come from? Like, we know the Bible. We've read it 1,000 times. Where is this coming from? Where is this unbelief coming from? Where is this doubt and fear and unbelief and everything that tries to block our way of following Jesus Christ come from? All around us. Everything we see and everything we don't see, the enemy is there. Even ourselves are our own hindrance to faith. Because we have our own plans, don't we? God, my plan was to have Isaac in an international school in just a year. What are you doing? I want the best for my son. I want the best. I even have the money saved up. Don't interrupt me, God. We have our own plans, but God says, don't follow your own plans. You follow mine. And may we be committed to follow, to surrender, to obey, to love, and to demonstrate that we have faith in God. Some tests to go through leave us very shattered. Very shattered. But even when we are shattered, we're not shattered beyond repair. Sometimes we think, oh, just this thing, and then it does not happen. And we are overwhelmed with the pain, the disappointment, the frustration. But God can pick those pieces together. He's the only one who can. Nobody else will. He says, those pieces, they actually look very beautiful to me. And I'm going to make a beautiful vessel out of it. And that's us. And then we run again. In a sense, God is never disappointed with our failures, is He? Never. He looks at you and says, He winks at you sometimes, maybe like, don't be surprised. Just get up. I'm going to give you a bath. I'm going to speak to you again. Let's walk again. Walk by faith and not by sight. And we're going to partake of communion, and we're really looking back to the ultimate sacrifice. I said earlier, when God wanted us to demonstrate our love for Him, He asked us for something. He asked Abraham for something. What happened when God wanted to demonstrate His love for us? We had a better deal, didn't we? He said, I am going to give it to you. I'm going to give you my son. He's going to die in your place. It does not get any better than that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We have been crucified with Jesus. It's no longer we who live, but Christ lives in us. The life that we now live, we live in the flesh. We live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. And we should read this scripture out loud together. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Lord, thank You so much for giving Yourself for me, for us, for our salvation, for our forgiveness, for our redemption. Thank You so much that that is something that we could never have thought about, we even done for ourselves. Scarcely can we even die for our own sins. It's impossible. You're not perfect. And You did that. So thank You, Lord.